Good morning to you all. We have been considering God's good news in the parables, and this morning we turn to yet another parable, and this is found in Matthew and chapter 21. Shall we turn to Matthew 21, please, and we read together verse 28. To 32. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 to 32. This is called the parable of the two sons. The Bible reads as follows. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, Assuredly, I say to you, that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. As we consider today's parable and the good news found in it, I'd like us to look at this parable under the heading, Entering the Kingdom of God. So the good news this morning is about entering the kingdom of God. And this is what we see in this parable. When the Lord gives them this parable, he obviously talks about harlots. He talks about tax collectors entering the kingdom of God. In Matthew, and the setting here is that the religious authorities, and by this we mean the chief priests, the elders, they question Jesus' authority. And they are saying to themselves, Who is this Jesus who comes into Jerusalem receiving the praises of the masses? Who is this man who drives the money changers out of the temple? With whose authority is he doing this? And so here we see that they are laying the stage conducive for this showdown with the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to take him on. Who are you? With whose authority are you doing these things? It is in this context that Jesus tells three parables. He talks about parable number one, which we are considering, the parable of the two sons. He talks about the parable of the tenants. He also talks about the parable of the wedding feast. Each of these parables is told to the Jewish religious leaders. And each of these parables is illustrating, one, their rejection of Jesus. Secondly, it pronounces judgment on Israel for their rejection of the Messiah. Indeed, the parable we have before us of the two sons, which is also addressed to the leaders of Israel, we see that these men who are being addressed here, who are questioning Jesus' authority, we see that they are representing a people who are religious, a people who know about the Word of God, a people who are actually doing one or two activities that are related to religious commands. But these people do not do the will of the Father. Jesus, in this parable, intends to have the chief priests and the elders of the people convict themselves. He tells this parable so that they can think about their spiritual state and they can convict themselves. Why do we say so? This is a parable which starts with a question. Verse 28. But what do you think? By virtue of posing that question to these people, the Lord Jesus Christ is engaging them immediately. And he is engaging them in such a manner that they begin to think and pay attention to what he is about to say. Because when these words come to them, what do you think? Now they have to pay attention and wait for the next sentence or the sentences that should explain what they should think about. Indeed, this morning's parable is an important question to all of us. And we begin to ask ourselves this question, what do you think? And beloved friend, in case you are not a Christian, here is the first question. What do you think about what the Lord is going to say to you? Such a question begs an answer. Such a question begs a reaction to it. What do you think? As we talk about entering the kingdom of God, there are simply three things that I want us to look at. The first one being the command to enter the kingdom of God. Secondly, the people who enter the kingdom of God. Thirdly, the people who don't enter the kingdom of God. Three things. The command to enter, the people who enter, the people who don't enter. Firstly, verse 28. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to his first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." In verse 28, we see the command to enter. But as we look at this command, we must ask important questions. Because this command is not coming from nowhere. And where the command comes from really matters. This morning, we see this command to enter. And this command is not just being taught to the Pharisees and the scribes. It is a command that is coming to us. The command is coming. And who is commanding? The Father. In verse 28, a man had two sons. Further studies into this, you realize that when the Bible says the man had two sons, it is actually saying he was the father. These two belonged to him. So he was the father. So the command to enter, who's commanding? It is the father. It is the father who is telling the two sons. Beloved friend, without wasting much of our time, this father represents God. He represents God. And in this parable, when the Lord Jesus Christ, a father, had two sons, he's actually referring to God. Consider with me that the one who is commanding, who is the father, has authority over his children. Is it not so, even in our family setting, that the father has authority over his children? Is it not what the Bible teaches? And by implication, when the Bible says, obey your parents, it means they've got authority over you. And it is not an authority imposed by themselves, but it is an authority that has been given or bestowed upon them by God the Almighty. So, when we talk about the command to enter, we must pause for a minute. Where is this command coming from? Who is commanding? It is the Father. It is God. God is above all creatures. God is the Creator. Therefore, there is no one who has authority over God. God has authority over us. This is the one commanding. Only one with authority has the right to command. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 28 of Matthew and Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. When he is talking to the disciples, he assures them of his presence, but he also talks about authority. Verse 18 of Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And as he talks about authority being given to him, he says, go therefore and make disciples. He commands, go, because he has the authority. And I underline this point. Only one with authority has the right to command. So in this parable, God has the right to command. He has the right to say, go and do this. Didn't they question the Lord's authority? This is the current setting. With whose authority is he driving these money changers away from the temple? With whose authority is he doing this? It was a question of authority that they had at the back of their mind. He doesn't deserve to do this. Who is he anyway? He has the authority. Many ask this question. Who is God to command me? Who is God to order my life? Who is God to tell me what I should do about my life? Who is God to tell me about my future? Who is God to talk to me about my career, about what I want to do in life? Who is God to tell me about who I should marry? God has got no authority whatsoever. And you could be seated here and you are such a person who is like these people. They question God's command, God's authority, as it were. Who is commanding? God is commanding this morning. Another question as we look at the command to enter. Who is he commanding? Definitely, when we read verse 28, a man had two sons and he came to the first. Later on, we see in this verse that this man says, I will not, but he goes to the other one. The straight answer as to who the Lord is commanding or the Father is commanding is simply the sons, the two sons. These two sons being commanded by the Lord actually are representing two kinds of sinners. Representing those who are actually sinful in their actions, those men who are known to be outrightly rebellious against God. But there is also another group of people who are good people. Those people who go to church, those people who don't skip any prayer whatsoever before eating, those who are genuinely good people, perhaps even young people who are eager to come to the family altar. Those are the two groups. One extremely rebellious, like the son who is always complaining when he's told to do some housework. And there is also another group of those who are showing disobedience, yet far away from God. So who is he commanding? The sons. Both sons. Beloved friends, we are told in God's word that God commands all men. He commands all men to repent of their sins. This is what God does. He does not just command young people or older people, as young people sometimes would like to distance themselves from God's word, from issues to do with repentance, because they are thinking that they've got a lot of time ahead of them. We see that this commandment, or this command rather, is for all to repent, whether old or young, whether female or male, whether white or black, name it. It is a command to all. Who is he commanding? All the people. They must repent. They must come to him indeed in repentance. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Can we see that? He's saying he commands all men. And by all men, it means not just all males, it means men as in boys and girls, women and men. In other words, we see here that God commands everyone, everywhere, to repent. This particular verse speaks a lot, beloved brethren. Who is he commanding? He is commanding all men. He is commanding wherever they are, that they must enter. Beloved friends, this morning, God is commanding you in your sinful state to enter his kingdom. That's the good news in this parable. But we must hurry on and ask another question as we look at the command to enter. Quite all right, we have seen who is commanding. This is God. We have seen that he's commanding all men, that both sons. But what is it that he's commanding them? And this is very important, beloved friends. It is to go and work in his vineyard. This is what we see in verse 28. Verse 28 contains the command to enter. And we see in this verse that he is saying, a man had two sons, and he came to the first and says, son, go work today in my vineyard. The command is to work in the vineyard. Remember, the vineyard belongs to the Father. Remember, salvation belongs to God. So, the command this morning is to enter the kingdom of God. The command this morning is for you to become a Christian. The command this morning is to tell you to turn away from your sin, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and enter into the kingdom of God. This is the command that we see here. The command is for you, my beloved young person, to become part of God's own people. Those people who are known by God by virtue of their spiritual birth, by virtue of their repentance and their surrender to God, they've surrendered their lives to God, they become part of His kingdom. This is the command this morning, beloved friend. Salvation belongs to Him. He has prepared salvation for you. It is His vineyard, if you like, in figurative terms. He has already prepared, and He prepared this by sending the Lord Jesus Christ, by Him coming to deal with our sins on the cross. He has prepared everything. He's not leaving you and I to do our own way of becoming Christians, but there is a vineyard already set, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Enter into Him this morning is the command. Why are we saying it's a command? The Bible says, go. Go. The word go symbolizes a command. It is different from, can you please go? May you go? Could you go? Would you go? Simply go. It is a command. And the word used go here means to lead oneself under. To lead oneself under. You lead yourself, you go and place yourself under someone or under something. This is the go. It is different from go away. Go to a place of your own. Vanish from my presence. Go wherever you want. But it is the going which is pointing to a particular place. And this is placing oneself under the Lord. The word go would also mean to withdraw. Withdraw from your passion, from your pride. Withdraw from wherever you are. Retire from where you are and place yourself under. And this is what has been taught in the parable. These men are to retire from where they are. These men are to place themselves under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word God. The command go requires a movement without question, a movement without hesitation. It is go. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ is given those instructions, we refer to it in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. When He says, go ye therefore, it is such a heavy word with authority from above, from heaven, with this authority which cannot be compared to any other, which actually begs for a movement upon receiving it. So this is a command. Go. This morning, the Lord is commanding you. Go, enter into the kingdom of God. He is not giving you an option because you do not have an option. You cannot count hell as an option. Those who will not enter, as we shall see, are those that will enter surely hell. So the command is go, enter to the kingdom. Enter, make a move without questioning, without hesitation. But notice with me again about this command. that it is a command which has got some urgency attached to it. Why do we say so? Read with me verse 28. Son, go work. The next day is today in my vineyard. The word today is actually showing us the urgency of the matter. Today, do it now. He who has authority is saying you must obey and do it now. How many times do we see parents telling, especially the girl child, can you go and wash dishes and do it now? But they want to do it when they are finished watching idols. They want to do it when they are finished watching either it's Zuba or Mpali, or they are finished watching the Kardashians or whatever they call them. They are finished watching the Slay Queens, and then they can do it in their own time. And you know, there is that reluctance, you know, in doing it. And sometimes we see it in young people, and not just in young people, but we see it as it is put here to the Pharisees. He wants them to do it now, today. There is an agency in this command. The command to enter the kingdom of God is not a command for next week. It is not a command for when you have finished university. It is not a command for when you have gotten yourself a good job. It is not a command for when you think now you are comfortable. But it is a command for today. Hebrews 3:15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Acts 17:30 refer to it. God commands all men everywhere to come to him. God is commanding you, my friend, today to enter his kingdom. Remember the story of Noah? The Lord says it is going to rain. And there are instructions given that men should enter the ark. And they are busy laughing. And if it was in today's world, I'm sure they would have been passing, drinking all sorts of beverages, laughing. Young people, the your bodies would be walking with their trousers and saying, we still have time. What are you saying? And they are talking to each other, telling their friends, my guy, let's go to our kids and chill. There's still time while the rain is about to come. God is commanding you this morning. Enter his kingdom. Come, enter. Enter before it is too late. Secondly, quickly, the people who enter. There is a command to enter, and definitely some will enter. Definitely some will not enter. And this leads us to the second point. Those who enter this kingdom of God. Read with me verse 29. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he regretted it and went. Those who enter are represented by this son. In verse 29. And it's not the first, but the second one. The first son, we know that he represents those who make promises, as we will see, but don't do it. But those who enter are found in verse 29. There is a question. Who are these? They are represented by the second son. These people we see they have no desire to make an effort to obey God. That is their initial stage. What are they like? Their description. They have no desire to make an effort to obey God. When you look at them, they don't want to put any effort to obey God. And this is true of the tax collectors, true of the prostitutes mentioned in verse 31. These are the people who enter. We'll see why we are saying they enter. But look at their state. They have no desire, as we are saying, to make an effort to obey God. They are far away from God. They probably don't even want to show any form of obedience to God. What are they like? They neither fear God nor pretend to do so. They are outwardly rebellious. You know, there are those who pretend that they fear God. You know that there are those who pretend that they love God. But these people who enter, as mentioned here, we see that they are those who do not show such positive signs. These people are not hypocritical in their stance about God. Does that speak of your son? Does that speak of your daughter? Does that speak of you? That you are one who has this stance which is not hypocritical? Even when your father says, "Let's go to church," you say, "I don't feel it. I can't go." Is it you? You flat out reject God. Even when there's home fellowship group in your house, you'd rather go and play FIFA, whatever it is, video games, name it. You'd rather go to WhatsApp and chat with your girlfriend, with your friends, and all those things. Is it you? You flat out reject God. These people who enter, in their state we see that they are independent from God. They are disobedient to God, and they are indeed insolent. In other words, these people, as we describe them in this way, they are well-known sinners. Not just well-known sinners, they are well-known sinners and rejected people, as it were. They are the outcast of this Jewish community, such men as tax collectors and harlots. What are they like, those who enter? They are sinful. There's nothing attractive about them. But how do they enter? These people who are like this. These people enter because of what we see in this verse. Verse 29. He answered and said, "I will not." But afterward he regretted it and went. See, here, rebellious state, "I will not." Blatantly saying it in your face. "I will not." But something changes. Afterward he regretted it and went. How do they enter? They enter when or after they have regretted it. In other words, how do they enter? They enter because they believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Says in verse 31, "Which of the two did the will of his father?" They say to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you." These people enter because they believe. The Lord Jesus Christ talks about John, who came preaching. John proclaimed, and he came in the way of righteousness, as he puts it in verse 32. He preached to them, but these tax collectors, the Pharisees, did not believe. But what do we see? The harlots, the tax collectors, believed it. Because of their belief, they enter the kingdom of God. How do you enter? You must believe the word of God. How do you enter? You must believe what God is saying. Not only do we see them believing, the word regret means they changed their mind, meaning they repented. They were sorry that they were in the first place arrogant. So it is, how do people enter the kingdom of God? It is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by repenting of their sins. It is by actually saying, as we see in John 3:16, as this verse which is common tells us of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ and about the kingdom of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It is by believing. It is by repenting. And this morning, beloved friend, you will not observe or you will not obey the command to enter until you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Until you believe his word is true. Until you repent of your sins, as it were. There are examples from the scriptures about people who enter. Initially, they are condemned, but after an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, they enter. A few examples. Matthew was one of the tax collectors, but he entered the kingdom of God. Zacchaeus was one tax collector, the outcast, dishonest person, unlovable. This man, we see that his life is changed. Zacchaeus, a sinful man, entered. The sinful woman at the well, who had married 5 times, this also entered. The woman caught in the very act of adultery, according to John chapter 8, this also entered this woman. Remember this man called Saul, who later on became Paul. He started as a persecutor of the Christians. He had an encounter with the Lord in Acts chapter 9. His life is changed. He is converted and he becomes a Christian. Those who enter the kingdom of God are people who are vile as you are. Those who enter the kingdom of God are those who are like me, who are sinful, who don't deserve a place in there, but they have actually recognized, they have seen, they have admitted that they are worthless before God, therefore they need him, and they surrender their lives to him. These are the people who enter. God commands all, but not everyone enters. Who enters? One who humbles himself. Beloved friend, have you humbled yourself before God? Have you already entered? I usually refer to this vicious thought, dangerous thought, yet true. In your family, father, mother, Christian, children, 5 of them, not Christians. Yes, it is family A, family Makupe, family whatever. But within that family, we see that some have not entered the kingdom of God. What a blessing it would be for this family to be one as a family. Yet, we see something true about them, that their children have also entered. They are part of the kingdom of God. You must enter. You must repent of your sins. You must throw away your arrogance. You must throw away the pleasures of this world. You love the world and everything in the world. It is your dear, darling delicacy, sinful, whatever it is that you always partake in. But you must enter the kingdom of God today. Are you being targeted this morning? Yes, you are, because God is commanding you to come to him. Thirdly, quickly, lastly, if there is a command, we have seen what it is. If we have seen that some obey the commandment, in the second place, as we said, those who enter into the kingdom, there's also another group of people. Sad to say this, and sad for you to be part of them this morning, but you still have hope. Those who do not enter. Verse 30. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. I go. Very impressive. My child is obedient. He doesn't question me. I go. And notice with me that he doesn't just say, I go. He even says, I go, sir. Impressive, isn't it? He says, I go, sir. But he did not go. These are the people who don't enter the kingdom of God. They are gossers. I will do it. I will go. Is it not how some children are? You tell them to do something, I will do it. But at the back of their mind, they know very well that they will not do it. They are like that good example of old that we talk about, where the father is saying, you sit down, no, I will not sit, you sit, now not sit. Or probably they will just sit, but in their hearts they are standing. Saying, I go, but not meaning it. This was the life of the Pharisees and the tax collectors. I mean, the Pharisees and the scribes. This was their life. This is their description. They are the ones who don't enter. They are represented by the second son. The second son represents the Pharisees and all their followers. This would include the chief priests, their elders, and the scribes. And this is talking about people who are familiar with the word of God. They perform certain religious activities, but still remain in the comfort of these activities and far away from God. These are people who are fairly acquainted with the gospel. But they do not believe. They do not repent of their sins. These are the people who don't enter. They have the knowledge. They are familiar with the word of God. They, to some extent, perform these things. But it is far from a reality to their lives. It is merely theory. This is their description, those who don't enter. They never do their duty. This man says, I'll go, sir, but he doesn't. So those who do not enter, their description is that they never do their duty. And when we say the duty here, they don't do the duty of the Father. And when we talk about the duty of the Father here, we are talking about doing the will of God. And the will of God is that you come to Him in repentance, that you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your personal Savior. That's the will of God. They never do their duty. The second son deceitfully professes respect and obedience, but he never does his duty. Is it not a picture of your son? Of your daughter? It's not a picture of you, young man or old man or whoever you are, that you say, I'm better than so and so. Daddy, mommy, you are saying all these things, but I'm better than John. I'm better than Mary. I'm better than, because he doesn't go to church. And those who don't enter, they never perform their duty, but they have this feeling about them that they are okay. This leads us to another description. They are self-righteous. The kind of righteousness they have is a self-righteous righteousness. And this is what we see in God's word. These Pharisees, the scribes, they had their own traditional prescription of what true righteousness is. They promise, but they don't fulfill it. They are disobedient to God, is another description. What God says they should do, they ignore it. They want to stick to their own ways, own inventions, own thoughts. They are acquainted with the gospel. In verse 32 we see, John came preaching. They heard. And even when they heard these things, they never followed it. And far be it that one of us in here is seated. They have heard the good news in this particular parable that they are to enter. Yet they are like these Pharisees and tax collectors. They don't simply want to enter. They can hear it. They go. And this is why sometimes I fear for young people. Especially those with Christian parents. Especially those with people who are so good examples that the Lord has saved them. They can see it. They've heard the word of God. They can come to church. They were born in the church. These things are familiar to them, but they cannot just surrender their lives to God. This, my dear, is a clear message. God wants you to enter. He doesn't want you to be like these people who are hearing John is coming. This man is laboring. This man is spending time in the desert. This man is going. He has actually left all the comforts in order to preach the word of God. And sometimes this is how we view people who stand. And I hope this is not how you view me. As one who has got nothing to do. One who is simply making noise. One who is simply bragging about knowing the Bible. Or causing confusion. Or creating an atmosphere for people to talk about you when you go home. But it is a plea that is coming to you. As the Lord has directed us to do. Enter, do not be like these men who don't want to hear the word of God. These men who ignore even warnings. John warned them, they ignored it. Why don't they enter? They enter because they don't believe. Why won't you enter the kingdom of God? It's simply because you don't want to believe. Why won't you enter? It's simply because you don't want to repent of your sins. That's why you are going to burn in hell. You won't enter because you do not relent. As we see the Lord saying here, He puts it in very clear terms. In verse 32, "For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it," this is an important aspect, "when they saw it," look, "they did not afterward relent and believe him." Relenting, changing your mind, deciding that this is the wrong way. Relenting, making sure that you don't continue on that path. Beloved friend, what has been hindering you from entering the kingdom of God? Is it disobedience to God's word? Is it disbelief? Is it because of the love of the world and the pleasures in it? What has been hindering you from coming to the Lord? Is it because of your comfort of having Christian parents? Is it because of your comfort of associating with God's people? Is it because of the comfort of your family? Or belonging to this Sunday school or YP? Is it the comfort of belonging to this WhatsApp group by Senior YP? The WhatsApp group where Christians talk about good things? We must conclude this way. The parable of the two sons contains an easy question. What do you think? But it is an exposing question. This morning, what do you think? Is it an exposing question to you that you have not entered? that you see others entering, but you yourself, you know, still there, not entering. This parable of the sons shows us that there's this verbal command. There are two responses. And this morning, you can either respond by saying, Lord, I have been very sinful. Here I am, receive me. And then the Lord forgives you of your sin, and then you enter. Or you can respond by quickly saying, I go, sir, and you don't do it. And you remain in your sin and on your way to hell. This morning, the Lord is speaking to us. This morning, the Lord has given us two examples of people. Those who enter and those who do not enter. I usually say, the kind of evidence that will be given to those who don't enter, those who stand before the Lord and have been told, depart away, depart from here, you evildoers. And they say, but we did this. But the Lord will say, you never did my will. The Lord will give you all the evidence. You had an opportunity to give your life on the 23rd of June at Lusaka Baptist Church before 12 o'clock. You heard about how it is to enter, how you can enter. You heard about how it is a command that you should do so. The Lord is not giving you an option. If He gives you an option, He's not a loving God. He is a loving God. He has given you this command that you enter. If you do not enter, you are going to perish. Beloved friend, will you enter? Beloved friend, have you entered this kingdom? The good news in this parable is that God gives the second chance. The good news is that even those who seem to be way better than you, or the good news is that even when you seem to be worse than everyone else, you can still enter. There is no line to entering the kingdom of God. To say this one has never stolen before, never committed adultery before, they enter in this manner. This one has never cheated before, they enter in this manner. It is just purely as it is, vile as you are, you can still come in. Provided you relent. Provided you repent of your sins. Oh, may the Lord help us this morning. Amen.